Hi, Patrick here with a very simple question and a not so simple answer. What is the Chinese language? Here I am talking with the Big Show's Marco Werman.
Not much happens in China without the approval of the top Communist Party leaders in Beijing. In fact, there's a long history of Beijing deciding what's good for all of China. That's true even when it comes to the national language. The World's Language editor Patrick Cox is going to tell us more about that now. How long has Mandarin been the most important language in China? Let's start there, Patrick.
Well, the language itself has been around for a long time as a dialect of Beijing, but important in terms of having government support for much shorter time. We're going to have a series of stories on this week that is going to take a look at this. If you go back, for example, a few hundred years to the early days of the Qing dynasty, the language of the imperial court back then was Manchu. We'll hear about that language as well later this week. But Mandarin got its big boost just a few decades ago in 1955. I was in the early days of Mao Zedong's communist government. In fact, the government designated the language, this Beijing dialect, as what it called Putonghua, the common tongue of the Chinese peoples. In other words, the lingua franca that bound together all ethnic and linguistic groups.
So did that work? Did that mother tongue of Mandarin then stick?
It may not have done in the beginning. China was just too big and decentralized, and people continued to speak their own dialects and languages. But there are signs that today that it has worked. Certainly the percentage of Chinese citizens who speak Mandarin is way up. Just in the past 8 years, for example, according to government figures, it's up from about half the citizenry 8 years ago to about two-thirds today. Of course, all of this has come at considerable cost to China's other languages and dialects.
Right, and that's what this story is going to be about. So, Patrick, here's reporter Ruth Morris in Shanghai.
In China, Mandarin is the language of government, commerce, and pop songs, but not everyone is excited about learning it. In this amateur video recorded 3 years ago, Tibetan students protested plans to shift nearly all their classes into Mandarin rather than their native tongue. Some of China's ethnic minorities see Mandarin as an imposition pushed on them by Beijing to dilute their culture. There have been protests in Cantonese-speaking parts of China, too. People there are worried their native dialect is being forced out of public places and into the home.
I'm Steve Hansen. I teach in the business school at Peking University.
My name's Kellen Parker. I'm a graduate student at National Tsinghua University in Taiwan.
Hansen and Parker are the founders of Phonemica. It's an internet project that invites people to upload stories in dialects that are derived from old Chinese.
We sort of know, okay, there was this much earlier language that all of these Cantonese, Mandarin, Shanghainese, Hakka, that they all sort of branched off of, starting out just as regional variations.
They say China's unruly linguistic landscape reflects ancient migrations. But something else happened. Time passed. China's dialects go back hundreds and hundreds of years. Plus, it's a big place, and languages naturally diverge when groups are isolated from one another. Here's Hansen.
The reason it's so diverse is because it's so huge. I mean, my gosh, you have hundreds of millions of people for hundreds of years. Many of these people, they grow up in the same valley. They stay in the same valley. And the interesting thing about China is a lot of them up until now, like a very modern period, people have not moved around a lot.
Now that's all changing, fast. Bullet trains crisscross the country, and migrant workers shuttle between home villages and factory floors hundreds of miles away. Increasingly, Mandarin is the language of survival and opportunity. In this Shanghai classroom, 60 kindergartners repeat phrases in Mandarin. They're the children of migrant workers from all over China. School administrator Lai Zhirong says many children don't speak Mandarin when they arrive here, but they pick it up quickly. Without Mandarin, she says, they risk being slotted into menial jobs when they grow up, on construction sites or factory lines.
I think, honestly, in many areas of China, government policy is lagging social desire.
For Steve Hansen of Phonemica, the desire to participate in China's economic success story is what's really driving the spread of Mandarin. Beijing says about 400 million Chinese cannot speak the national language. Kellen Parker says, don't blink.
I think that number is going to be much, much smaller in 20 years. I think it's going to be shockingly smaller in 20 years.
We know that cityscapes are transforming almost overnight in China, but the linguistic landscape may be shifting even faster. For The World, I'm Ruth Morris in Shanghai.
Tomorrow, the pod is headed to Chongming Island. That's just outside Shanghai, just a 45-minute bus ride. But linguistically, it's on another planet, at least for the elderly residents of the island. See you at theworld.org/language, also at the Facebook page, The World in Words, or on Twitter, where I tweet under the name Patry Cox, P-A-T-R-I-C-O-X. Back tomorrow and the next day too, if all goes according to plan.